Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks the NRL. Breaking news, the big opinions, last minute goss from inside the locker room. If it's NRL news you need, get it right here. For King G, you wear the crown. This is Triple M's Saturday Scrum.
And it's great to have your company. My name is Tony Squires. I'm joined by the destroyer of stadiums, Brent Reed.
Get the bulldozers out, Tony. Start up the bulldozers.
Blow them all up. We'll talk more of that in this hour. Ryan Girdler is with us as well. And as in, talk about timing, walk through that door at the very last second. Wade Graham, Wade-o, how you going?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. What an entry for Reedy there, the destroyer of stadiums. Wow, that might stick, that nickname. I like
Shark
that.
Shark Park's next to my side.
Easy.
Hey, Ryan Girdler, I just want to share something about you I noticed in the paper today. I see that Nathan Cleary.
In the paper today?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're in the newspaper.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
This is in the Saturday Telegraph. The headlines in the news pages rather than the sports pages, by the way. Cleary to open sports bar on his home turf. So he's going to open a bar in Penrith.
Yeah, is that with Pedro and Ty?
Yeah. That's right. It's called Freddy's, after Freddy, obviously another famous Penrith.
Really?
And then on the side here, Ryan, it's got Sport Barons who own bars. Sport Barons. The company you keep, there's Greg Norman, who has the Greg Norman Australian Grill. There's Michael Jordan mm-hmm. Steakhouse. And it says here, Ryan Girdler, the former rugby league footballer, runs a chain of cafes in the northern beaches called Girdler's. We have locations in Manly, DY, Avalon Beach, and Warringah.
Good on the Daily Telegraph.
And the other one is Lionel Messi. Ryan Girdler, Greg Norman, Michael Jordan, and Lionel Messi sport barons.
It's like a Mount Rushmore of sport, isn't it?
What did it start to show? So we've got the destroyer of stadiums on one side and the baron on the other side. Yeah, a couple of nicknames. I'm going to have to work on my...
haven't started on your man bag yet.
I'm going to work on my craft and get a better entry because these boys are on fire.
Better entry? You came in 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, well, I need a better name. But like, you see me coming in 30 seconds ago, but our listeners didn't feel that presence. Right. I need a presence name.
Walking around with a man bag like that, we'll call you the chemist.
You came via public transport.
I caught the train. Me and my wife are staying in the city tonight for Easter weekend. So,
right, too scary to drive the car in the big smoke?
No, we just thought we'd have a couple of drinks and relax. Not have to worry about the driving with double the merits.
Hey,
mate.
Tony,
being responsible.
There's nothing wrong with the public transport, the underground in the city. You should try it. I was on it last week until there was a medical emergency. Look out for those, Wade. They can throw you right out. But
other than that,
they're really good. Yeah, they get you around.
I don't mind the train either, to be honest. But there were some characters on our train today.
Have you ditched the kids, Wade?
Yes, we have.
Oh, how good!
I will go on public transport if I'm overseas.
Yeah. I'm easy with public transport, and I'd rather, to be honest, I don't mind the train. You throw your headphones in, I do a bit of reading on my phone, and just blank out there for a bit. I'd rather that than a confined space in an Uber with a stranger, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's
or a
fair
bus,
enough.
Or
that's
a bus.
A lot of people do catch a public transport just to read your articles and get really angry about this, the local stadiums, really. We are going to get to, there's so much we have in front of us for just the 2 hours.
Yeah,
just a
2 hours. I was a bit disappointed, actually. My mother-in-law's in town. I was looking forward to the 3 hours, Tone.
It's going to be awkward at 2:30.
You're just
going
to be popular everywhere you go to these days, really.
No, I'm only joking, Adrian.
Adrian?
Yeah.
Where's Adrian in town from?
From Queensland. Up near Gerds, actually, Mooloola Valley. She lives in
lovely
Sunshine Coast hinterland.
Nice part.
She was probably hoping for the 3 hours as well.
She was hoping it was all day, Wade.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into the bunker. Before we get in there, though, charge sheet and injury. I didn't ask you earlier.
Yeah,
what's the situation?
There was a bit of action out of yesterday, Tone. Mm-hmm. In terms of South and Canterbury, particularly, Blake Tough got charged dangerous contact on Jack White, just a grade one, it's just a fine. Latrell got charged over that hit on Josh Adokar, which knocked Josh out of the game. It's just a grade one charge, so again, it's just a fine.
Why are you shaking your head, Wade?
I get it. It's dangerous contact. It's made contact with his head, and unfortunately, it knocked him out. But it's just one of those things. It's an accident that happens on the footy field. He's gone into tackle. Like, they talk about duty of care. Like, what's he supposed to do there? I don't understand as a defender.
He was 2 metres over the sideline when contact was made.
Yeah, well, again, it's the same as the Taylor May situation the week before the head clash when he wasn't charged, right? And, and I was a defender of Taylor saying it was an accident. It's a high-speed game. It was a collision. some things are unavoidable, and I just don't know what is the trawler meant to do there. He's trying to save a tackle. He doesn't go in head first. It's not a swinging arm. It's basically body on body, and unfortunately, just the way Josh fell, he collected his hip. So I feel that's a steep punishment for an accident on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wade. When I was sort of foretailing, you know, probably being reprimanded last week, given, you know, the accountability that I think those outside backs need to take when they jam in the situations like that. But with Latrell, like, they're so limited with how they can actually, with what they can do to stop tries these days, the fullbacks. They can't use their legs, you know, they can't go in there swinging their arms. So you've got to get your body in there. He had every right to get across there at speed. He's a big man. He's 105 kilos. He can't just stop. And he didn't know that, you know, how that play was going to end. He can't read that situation. He's just got to go across there, make sure that he doesn't use his legs and his arms and create sort of a situation that's dangerous by using his body. It's the same as guys with the football that run and use their hips to turn into people that are actually dropped. That should almost be, you know, ruled as dangerous as well, because, you know, just because you've got the ball doesn't mean that, you know, you can't use your body in certain ways that aren't going to do damage. And it feels like now every time someone's actually injured or you know, concussed or whatever it may be, we go back and look at the incident in which caused it. And I just don't think that's a really smart thing to do moving forward, because you've got to get looking at everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not to get too off topic, but Gerds is right. Why is the duty of care always with the defender? Because players with the ball use their body for protection and aggressively. Like, how many times do we see the bumpers? I think we've seen a couple of broken jaws over the years of guys use. Like, they're doing that on purpose because they're protecting themselves and there's intent with how they play, and that's fine. So that's if that's play on, I love that. I played my whole career through that, doing that. But then a guy has a body-on-body check, unfortunately makes contact with the head, and it is an unfortunate situation, but it's an accident, and now we fine him and penalize him for it. We just got to be careful with how far we push it.
Yeah. And look, and as I said earlier, that he was well over the sideline, but the fact of the matter these days is that wingers seem to be able to score from 2 metres outside.
That's true. There's a bit more. Curtis Moran got charged grade 2 dangerous throw for that lifting tackle on Cam Murray.
Yep.
He's facing 2 to 3 games. No charge for Jack Whiten for that purported hip drop, which on Jake Preston, which I didn't think was a hip drop. I didn't think he actually landed on him. So I'm okay with that. I don't know how you guys feel about that, because Cam Ciraldo was upset about that after the game, and he restrained himself in the press conference. I got the feeling Cam really wanted to explode about that, but he restrained himself, which I admire him for, because he was unhappy after the game. But I actually thought, I didn't think it warranted a charge, the Whiten incident, the hip drop.
Yeah, well, the problem was, not a problem, but the good news for him is he there was no contact.
No.
It was a classic hip drop motion. He was there and he came down, but it's like taking a swing at somebody and missing, and then get charged with punching. I mean, it didn't happen.
Terms of injuries, Tone, Alex Johnson needs to have a scan. It's a hamstring problem. I'd say he'll be out for a spell. And Josh Adakar, obviously with the HIA, he'll have to sit out 11 days, so he'll miss next week.
Okay. All right. Well, look, while we're in those kind of controversial moments, there's been a lot of chat this week, hasn't there, about the bunker and those decisions, the obstruction rule being the one that seems to be causing the most confusion across the game, not just with the people with the whistle, but certainly coaches and players. Graham Annesley admitted that the Joey Manu one, that obstruction call, wasn't correct and should have been a try. How are we going to solve this problem? People are going to get on the same page?
Yeah, well, that one there was just, like, they just need to use common sense, like blatant common sense. He was nowhere in the picture. And then Jared had actually done his job. He'd run through the first defensive line. He was looking over at Joey Manu, so he wasn't looking at Dylan Edwards. And again, sort of say, not duty of care, but the right's always with the defender, right? Dylan Edwards can also run around him just as easily as he can run into him. And this is the thing, like, players are smart. You know, we watch every game. We know every ruling that happens. So if you want to go to no try on that one, players will play for it, mate. They will, because when you're out there and the whistles is going and you know what the other rulings have been, you'll play for it if it's going to give your team an advantage or if it's going to benefit you in some situation. So that one there, that was just I thought the Tupanua try before halftime was a lost ball. I can't believe they
didn't give that much of a look at all.
Confirm that so quick, because they didn't even double check it. From one angle, it actually looked like there was separation. So I don't know who was in the bunker on Thursday night, but might have started his long weekend early.
Tane, I think the game's been trying to take accountability off the officials for a long period of time, and I know it alleviates a little bit of pressure and it might attract more people into the job. But, you know, at some point we need to get, and I've been saying this for years, Tony, we need to get the right people in those situations that have got the experience that can use their discretion to make the calls and as Wado said, you know, apply common sense to the game, because that's exactly what it's lacking at the moment. This whole black and white thing, it just doesn't work. So let's just get the right people in there that aren't going to be influenced by, you know, or concerned about, you know, what coach thinks of them or, you know, because at the moment it's a little bit, it's laughable, even with the Jake. It all started with Jake's situation last week. And yeah, he might have stopped in the line to some degree. But if you've got the right person in the box, you know, he can make a call on that. I'm sure that the same person would be able to make a call on Jared's one. Like the guys are, as Wado said, they're told now that they can't stop in the line. And so the line is the defensive line, but then they run through and they check up. They find themselves in the way of the fullback coming across. And, I mean, that's not the line, is it? That's in someone else's, I guess, line to path to try and stop something. But it's getting really complicated. We need to simplify it, get the right person in there that's happy to be accountable for those calls, apply common sense and discretion, and just get on with it.
Tony, this all stems from the coaches, actually. About 6 or 7 years ago, I checked on this morning because I thought the rules were purely black and white now. They're not black and white. The Jake Trbojevic situation,
yep,
where a defender is blocked and the attacking player runs through the hole that's created, that's black and white. You can't do that. But on those shift plays that we saw on Thursday night, there is discretion there. And the bunker could have used its discretion to allow the Joey Manu try.
That's right. Graham Manus, to quote that, bunker does have discretion to consider whether a defender could have prevented the try.
And this all stems from the coaches 6 or 7 years ago sitting around frustrated with obstruction and the way it was being ruled. And they sat down and dropped some parameters for that the officials would use to judge this sort of stuff. And look, I think I didn't like the decision on Thursday night because I thought it was pure black and white. But now I understand it's discretionary in that sort of aspect. In those shifting plays, I understand the rule. That was just a poor decision by the referee and by the video bunker. And you can't, sometimes there's human error in this game and they're going to make them. They've been making them for 100 years. They're going to keep making them. That was not an issue with the rule. That was an issue with the official.
Yep.
So, and I think in that situation, so be it. You know, we've got to live with it because occasionally it's going to happen.
Yeah. You talked about that black and white. We got there. I'd like to hear just what Wayne Bennett, who likes to dip into these things, what he had to say about that.
Well, it can't be black and white. You know, if you look at last night's, the referee probably has as much to do with it as anybody else, the position that he found himself in. If you look at the vision, I mean, the referee certainly had an impact on what happened there. Yeah. No, I'm not blaming him for that, but the position that he found himself in. So I think, you know, you just can't have it black and white. It's just, you've got to be some flexibility with it.
Yeah, he's 100% right, Wayne Bennett. It can't be black and white because as soon as it is, this is a hard and fast rule. We're going to rule this a penalty every time. Players will play for it as well. Like, yeah. It'll come into our game. And like you said, we're always going to have errors and we're always going to have inconsistencies. But what we need is just consistency in game to game. Like that single game, the decisions need to be consistent. And that's up to that one referee to get a feel for it because you're right, referees are going to referee different. It's always going to be sort of different within the round. But as soon as it's black and white, we saw it when the head-eye crackdown came in and players would lay down for a penalty and
yep,
you know, they'd give the penalty away straight away. But then as the refs moved on from that, they went, no, we didn't see it. We're happy with what the contact. Get up and play the ball. Players stop laying down. And I'm not having a crack at players because I would have done it as well. But when you're out there making decisions in the heat of the moment, with the emotion, trying to win and compete, you play the game, right? So, yeah, I just think it can't be black and white. It has to be up to the referees with that discretion. And Reedy's right. Like, sometimes there is going to be errors in that, and we just have to live with it.
All right, next, we're going to get to the Broncos. The conditions seem very, very wet early, but they got the job done over the Cowboys. That is next on the Saturday Scrum. Doing it for King G Workwear.
Long pass, intercept.
We're having a look at the replay now. He's out.
Oh my God.
Tom Dearden.
Wow.
That is a Macca's moment. it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm loving it.
Oh, that's incredible.
What a chase.
Oh, my God.
What a tackle.
Oh, wow.
That is unbelievable.
How good was that? It's amazing. In this game, we often, you know, we saw Xavier Coates and we celebrated all week that amazing try, but a defensive effort like that, just such a bummer that it didn't, for his side anyway, that they didn't go on and you know, win that game. But it was... Wade, have you seen anything? Obviously, the Scott Sattler has come up.
Is it too early to say tackle of the year? Yeah. Like normally, we go to the big hits. And, yep. and as fans and as lovers of the game, we love the highlight plays, right? We love the big hits and we love the tries, the flashy plays. But what really endears players and teams to their fans is what you said, that effort. Like that effort of Tom Dearden to cover, you'd have to say a much faster man in Selwyn Cobbo, but he just laid it all on. Cobbo was a great effort too, the intercept and the race down that sideline. But Tom Dearden, like the Cowboys fans, that's what people love about our game and our players is that effort they put in. And yeah, that's up there with one of the best tackles I've ever seen.
Gertz, you're in the commentary box there with Dobbo's screaming at you.
Yeah, and Benny Teo. it was incredible. Look, I think that the way that he accelerated, you could see that Cobbo's didn't enjoy the wet track. He's not a mudder, fair to say. And Dearden was like a grey in the Melbourne Cup, you know, in the wet, just coming home. And it just accelerated at the end, was able to just clip him. It was a huge effort. Unfortunately, as you said, Tone, for the Cowboys, like the next two times they got, you know, that even though it was a dominantly Brisbane crowd, was dominated by the Brisbane fans, there was a few Cowboys fans there, and that just got up everyone. The energy just lifted in the stadium. You could feel it. And then, unfortunately, the next two times the Cowboys got the football, because it kind of kept them in the contest, they dropped it on play one and allowed the Broncos to score, and that was kind of the end of the game. So I think that's what the Cowboys would be disappointed in. But that effort, it just sums up what we've seen of Tom Dearden over the last couple of years, and that's why he's the leader and the captain of the Cowboys.
I was going to say that, Gerds. That's Tommy Dearden to a T that moment. Yeah. I mean, that's what you get with Tommy. He always puts in 110%, you know, and he's unfortunate, right? He's stuck behind Cam Munster with the Queensland team. He's obviously played Origin, played really well the game he played, but, you know, Munster and DC are sort of blocking his path at the moment. He doesn't look out of place in that arena at all. No.
And kids, just remember, it is impossible to give 110%. Yes. Yeah. The most you can ever give is 100%. That is all of you. That is all you've got. But thank you, though.
I am a junior soccer coach, so I do demand 110% of my kids or they're out.
Just on the Cobbo.
Yeah.
Like how high is his ceiling? Like for me, he's already a superstar. Played for Origin, played for his country already. But it just seems to me this year he's moved to the centres. He looks a little bit stronger. He looks like he's grown a little bit into his body. He's starting to understand how strong he is and how to take contact and give it out. And like, well, I'm not going to say boy, but he's going to be a problem in the next couple of years for the NRL once he really figures out himself and how he can play. Like he's a brilliant player.
Yeah, it could be a problem for the Broncos because he's only got a year left in his deal, right?
Well, someone's going to have to give up there eventually. And it's Tony Staggs Cobbo off contract. And we know the expansion teams are coming in, right? Yep. Like he would be a target for me, not because of just how good he is as a player, but how good he is at multiple positions. He can play fullback, centre, wing. You probably wouldn't put him on the wing anymore because he's so dynamic with the ball. But how old is he, 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still a boy and he's just starting to figure out. Like his ceiling is...
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there.
Just circling back to that tackle from Tom Dearden and what Gerd said about the reaction and the mistakes that then ensued from the Cowboys. Coach Todd Payton had a similar view. Let's have a listen from him.
So disappointed. Come down to Brisbane, you know, it's our biggest club game. Yeah, and we just gave the opposition too many shots inside our own half. We wouldn't beat the Tomorrow Dragons by doing that. So I thought we should have been down by more at half time, to be fair. And the most disappointing part for me of the game was Tommy Dearden makes this awesome defensive play, one of the better ones I've seen in a long time. And we just had no sparkle reaction off the back of that. So, we're sitting here and real reality check about some of our football.
Not sure whether the Tamora Dragons have reason to be a bit upset with that.
Maybe he's giving them a rap.
They were disappointed at the fact that, I feel like when they had the football, they still threatened. I mean, they've got so many gifted players in that footy side. We didn't see the best of some of those players last night, given the fact that they completed under 60%. But, you know, some of the tries that they scored, I mean, the Drinkwater try, the kick, the Val Holmes try with the kick back in from Tuolangi. Yeah. I mean, some of that rugby league was absolutely, you know, first class. But, yeah, they just didn't give themselves opportunities just to plan themselves in the other half. You know, we didn't see anything from Nanai, from Finifiniaki and those guys. You know, we just didn't see the skill sets that they possess and what a good footy side they can be when they're, you know, controlling possession, building pressure, doing all the things that it takes to beat a quality side. And I think that's what they'll be disappointed with. But, you know, they took a couple of opportunities, and even though the score blew out in the end, being sort of live at the game, it was a proper contest. There was lots of energy in that game. The Broncos played really well, and the Cowboys, you know, it's hard when you complete like that, and especially when you're making mistakes on early tackles. But, you know, they turned up ready to play. They were up for the contest, as they always are in the derby, and unfortunately things didn't fall their way. But, gee, I think they would have given the Dragons, the Tomorrow Dragons, a decent
it was
decent
a reality
last
it was
night.
It was a reality check for them, because they have had, even though they won the first three games, they played a really ordinary Dolphins side in round one. Mm-hmm. They squeaked past the Knights in round two, and then they played the Dragons, who were ordinary, in round three. So they hadn't really been, you wouldn't say, well, they were three of the more challenging sides. Newcastle may be a side in the opening three rounds. So that's probably a sign that maybe they're not as on the pace as what we thought they were through three rounds.
Well, normally I wouldn't agree with you, Reedy, but on this...
You've agreed with me twice today.
Yeah, I know. It's the Easter weekend, mate. It's a good vibe.
Must be that train ride.
That's what he said. The destroyer of stadiums.
Like, if we're being honest, they dodged a bullet against the Knights up there in Golden Point. So a couple of late tries in the closing 10 minutes to really even that game up. And then Chad kicks a field goal. And then last week, it was a big momentum swing. They could have been down 24 points against the Dragons, and then they go up the other end and score, and they find another try. Like, if it goes to 24 last week, who knows where the game's going? But sometimes as a player, when the results do go your way and you're getting those wins, it can cover a few little issues in your game. And again, it might have been a bit of a reality check, the reality check that they needed. And it's better to happen this time of year, and you know, you take your medicine and you move on and you improve than when it happens later in the year when you need the wins.
All right, a couple of names for the Broncos who are absolutely outstanding. The return of Adam Reynolds, his kicking game, especially in those conditions, Gerds, when the skies opened, 15 minutes before play, it was bucketing down and he was kicking those ones from the belly of the ball or just putting them right on the spot, absolutely influential. And then Patrick Carrigan just carting it up the middle was terrific as well.
Yeah, well, they needed to lay down a bit of a market, didn't they, the Broncos? I mean, the start of their season's been a little bit up and down, and they probably saw the way Penrith played on Thursday night and said, well, you know, if we want to be one of these top-tier clubs, it's about depth, and we're going to go through an origin period where you need to make sure that, you know, we're not dropping points. So they had to come out and put in a good performance without some key players last night, and they really did that. And, you know, it was all about, you know, going, making sure that they, you know, they didn't lose too much without paying through the middle, and, you know, Carrigan stood up in that regard, and they did the fundamentals right. They completed really high. They kicked to the corners. And I think the difference between the two sides last night was those little effort areas around their kick chase and putting pressure on catches and things like that. I know that and pressures on kickers. I heard Toddy Payton said in the post-game presser that, you know, oh, you can't put pressure on kickers now. And they just basically let Adam Reynolds at the end of every set just have his way with the football. And I mean, that's a just, if you go with that attitude and that's your strategy moving forward, you're going to be in trouble if you're just going to allow Reynolds and Cleary and co to kick themselves out of trouble and finish off their sets without any pressure. Now, I know you can't go through, you know, like guys like Cotter and that they've got, and Robson, they love that part of the game. They're real scrappers. They need to go through and find a way where they're putting pressure on kickers and taking their time away without giving penalties away. We understand that. We saw Kikau do it a couple of weeks ago. He got the first charge down of the year. So it's an interesting time for that, because they're always playing with the rules around the, you know, charge down and not touching the kicking player and all that, the player that's kicking. But they still need to apply pressure, because last night they just let Adam Reynolds do exactly what he wanted and he pulled them apart.
Well, it just goes to show with that Brisbane team how important Adam Reynolds is, because there's no way he's 100%. He's carrying that MCL injury, he was heavily strapped, but he was confident enough that he would get out there and direct with his voice and more importantly, kick his team into good field positions, which is half the battle in every game. And yeah, we look at that Broncos side now, we talk about the stars coming off contract, you know, Walsh re-signing, Payne Haas, Carrigan, Cobbo. they're all outstanding players, but I don't know if they're as important to that team as Adam Reynolds. And how old is Adam now? He's like 35-year-old half, just up there, just doing his thing. It just, every NRL team, you notice the difference if they don't have a quality half compared to a team that does have a quality half.
It's so important to have him fit at the right end of the year, though, isn't it, Wade? I mean, they need him in September. You know, obviously they've got to get to September 1st, but they need him in September because I don't think they can win a comp without Adam Reynolds.
No, they 100%. They need him fit and firing at the right time of the year. But you're right. Like, they need him in September, but they need him now.
Yeah.
They need, like, Payne Haas is out. They were struggling. They got dusted last week against the Penrith Panthers, and they weren't really in that game at all. Obviously lost Walsh early, but they need him now because you need to tick these two points up. Every week is important. You can't be chasing your tail late in the year trying to salvage the points that you need to win early in the competition.
And Paddy Carrigan, in week one when they lost in Vegas, part of the reason they lost, I thought, was that Paddy Carrigan got moved out the middle and had to play at an edge. And obviously with Payne Haas out at the moment, I mean, Paddy's exponentially more important for them because he leads the way through the middle of that field. And he was outstanding last night, Paddy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, losing Capewell, they needed to sort out that sort of edge back rower utility spot for the bench, right? Because as soon as Pierre Cora got injured in Vegas, Carrigan had to go to the edge, and that was always going to be an issue. But we saw Oates come back in last night, and he was outstanding. He could be the answer. Yeah, he could be, you're on the bench, you could play as a middle forward, possibly an edge, and you cover the outside backs. Like, he could be that 14. The only real issue then would be they need to push Walters out for 80 minutes. So,
scored that good try too off the kick.
Fans love him up there too, don't they?
Tristan Saylor was great too. Obviously, Reece Walsh sitting up in the stands with that giant Stetson on. The Cowboy. What was that?
It's a part of their uniform, isn't it? You see all the boys up there wearing that hat.
I swear
it's a part of their, they're sponsored by Ring of Western or something.
It doesn't quite go with his Ralph Lauren sponsorship, does it? The Cowboy hat, the Ralph Lauren perfume.
And the other news, Kevin Walters, has he re-signed as about to risk.
No, he's extended for one more year. Extended through the end of 2025.
All right. Thank you so much. This is the Saturday Scrum, doing it all for King G Workwear. So if you are at the Royal Easter Show, make sure you go and see the giant pumpkin.
How big is it, Tony?
412 kilograms, right?
Wow.
412 kilograms. Yeah, it comes from Tumid, I think.
How long does that take to grow?
It's named Tormid. I think it took it's about a year.
A year to grow.
They had to get the right seeds. It's got a name, Tormid.
What's that mean? Is there
I haven't delved that. Tony, I haven't gone that far down the rabbit
hole. Is it organic?
I'm going to say yes. It's definitely organic.
How many people would that feed, that pumpkin?
Do you reckon it would be tasty?
Now we're diving deep. What about the problems we're solving today?
Yeah. Do you reckon it would be tasty, though?
If it's organic.
Would you roast it, Tony, or put it in a soup?
It's a lot of soup.
Giant pumpkin soup.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I love it. I hope you go and see the Tormund from Tumid, 412 kilograms. Or go and see Diane Armstrong, the woman with the longest fingernails in the world.
Who?
1,306 centimetres.
The fingernails?
She's not actually at the show, but if you ever do get the chance.
You've been reading that Guinness Book of Records.
Light reading at night.
Yeah, I do. Rabbitohs, where are they? After last week, it was all doom and gloom, 0-3 for the Bunnies. They have managed to get themselves on the score on the ladder with that 20-16 win over the Doggies. But the Doggies kept coming back at them. Did we learn any more? Where are we situated now with the Bunnies?
Oh, for me, with South, they just needed the win. We spoke about the Cowboys before, maybe the results covering over some cracks. Like, there's still cracks there, but just take the win and move on. Because if they'd have went 0-4, it would have been a disaster. Yeah. So you just need to get that monkey off their back. They've been under a lot of pressure externally. I know you say you shut out the noise when you're a player, and certainly through times in my career, we had that mentality, but they just needed the win. And there's still plenty left in the tank for them and plenty of areas they need to improve, but like I said, the monkeys off the back. Jack Whiten was brilliant in the centres. And now it's just time for them to take the 2 points, consolidate, and slowly improve their footy and try to go back-to-back. So, it's going to be a much better week at training for them boys over there at Redfern.
Yeah, a couple of tries for Jack in his second game in the Cardinal Myrtle Girds. What did you make of him?
He's a real threat, and he hasn't played, in the centres at club level for a while. So he's only going to get better and better. And that combination on that left side with Cody will only improve. But, like Wade said, Not often does a side get beat by 40 points one week and come back and put in a clinical performance the next. It's a process that they need to go through. And that's it. They started that process yesterday. They completed it, I think, around 95, 96%. So they were diligent with the football. Their goal line defence was pretty good, you know, given the fact that the Bulldogs, I think there was a stat there, they had almost like 50 play the balls with inside the opposition 30, and they could not score a point if their life depended on in that space. They did some long distance stuff and they were able to get some points that way, but they've got a lot of work to do with the football. But South, yeah, I mean, they needed to be defensively sound in certain areas. It was about effort for them. It was about the smaller things, the kick chase, getting the end of their sets, just getting to the fundamentals right. They did that. I don't think their fans would be, you know, overly excited. I don't know. I think they've got a bit of a tough run the next couple of weeks as well. Reedy, who do they play next week?
Yeah, Warriors, Cronulla next 2 weeks. Both at home. Yeah, but some good tough tests. Games.
And then a bye.
And then a bye, yeah.
Step in the right direction, though. Yeah.
Well, if they could get that bye with two wins, that's a massive victory. That's as that team, where obviously how they started the season, where they've been, if they can look at that 2 week window and go, okay, there's a bye on the other side. If we can get two more wins, go 3-3 with the bye, get on the other side of it. You know, you almost push the start of the season to the back of your mind, but yeah, it's still a big job ahead of them.
You could see the relief talking to those guys after the game, talking to Jack and Damian Cook, and there was just a genuine sense of relief because that pressure has been building. I know you talk about the outside noise and try not to let that affect you. I mean, Jack jumped off social media this week because you know, he didn't want to see what was being said and the comments that were being directed at him. And he's been one of their better players, I would have thought, Jack, in the games he's played. So, you know, everyone at the club's been under the pump. Jason's, Demetrio, the coach, has been under massive pressure. And it just eases it for a week. And, you know, us in the media, we've got short attention spans. We'll be looking at someone else this week. And Sels will be relieved by that.
I'm glad. That's very mature of you, Brent. You know that.
We've got short attention. Yeah. I always say to clubs and people who are in a crisis, just get through a week. Because, in a week, we move on to something else.
Yeah. Just on Jack.
You're an inspirational leader, Reedy. You know, one 10% and, you know, 1 week at a time. I'm like, you should put a book out, mate.
Just on Jack White and Gerds, I'd love to hear your opinion on this because I love him as a centre. I know he's played the majority of his career down there at Canberra at 5'8 now, but I love him at left centre, that big body, such a competitor. And he's a physical presence out there. Mm. Centre to the centre, what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I'm glad I retired before Jack started playing, you know. But yeah,
he's retired.
They need to make sure that he gets into the game. And I think he'll do that at left centre. He's great at, I think the thing that the centre allow him to do is bring the ball out of trouble a little bit more. He brings it out of his own end so well. He's always so good at, you know, finding space, getting quick play the balls. He can't really do that at six. So I think he can have an impact for South, even on an early shift, like getting good yardage, playing the ball up before halfway and allowing them forwards to get on the back of what he can do. And the other thing is, when you're a center and you find that you're not getting a lot of football, you need to have an impact other ways, and that's through kick chase and defense and making a statement that way. And there's none better in the game than Jack than chasing down a ball and just putting a stop to whoever's bringing it back or coming out of line on those edge shifts. Now we know that, you know, we saw that with Taylan May and getting those reads right, but also making sure that, you know, you make the guy that's just delivered the pass feel like he doesn't want to do that again. And Jack's definitely going to put the fear into some of those fullbacks swooping around as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, the more games he plays for South, the more used he gets to the way that they do things, the better he's going to be. And, yeah, he was outstanding yesterday.
All right, flip the coin. Bulldog, you're a Bulldog fan. What do you take out of yesterday?
Yeah, I still think they're trending in the right direction. Obviously, they won. It was a pretty impressive performance last week against the Titans. But there's just areas in their game that I do like where they've improved from years more, like mainly around their effort and their defense. Like you can't fault them for how hard they're trying out there, and they're all going out there and delivering. They find themselves in trouble. Gerd just mentioned how many play the balls they had attacking South try line, and just that they just lack that little bit of polish or that little bit of extra speed or just that spark. Like you look across teams, and even if you go to the Titans or the Tigers, you got Buller and Walker, and there's just that guy who can pick up a loose ball and just make things happen, or he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. And probably their guy, maybe might be Fox out there on the wing, but he missed yesterday's game after he got knocked out. It's just, yeah, they just didn't need that one sort of spark player because they work so hard defensively. And when you work that hard in the game and you know you need to be at the top of your game and the top of your effort, when the points and the rewards don't come, as the season gets longer, it gets harder and harder and harder to recreate that effort.
It was a hard watch yesterday, Wado, wasn't it? You know, like, and we know South Sydney's start to the season defensively hasn't been great. So, you know, there was plenty of opportunities there for them to crack the Bunnies open. And you're just looking for that. And we did it the week before, you know, with them. Like, as a team, what's going to give them success when they've got the football? They don't have an on-ball halfback that goes into the line. And you know how hard it is, especially attacking those parts of the field where if you don't have a halfback that goes with speed directly in the line just to start, you know, pulling numbers off those guys on the outside and delivering those passes, and you're playing to, you know, cross-field, well, then defences are going to eat you up. And it's the same as, you know, do you have a guy in the middle that's going to be able to get between a couple of guys, generate some ruck speed for you, and Marnie can dart out, or a seven or a six, or the one can come through and actually do something through the middle. Unfortunately, it's hard to identify who those players are going to be for the Bulldogs. And if you look at the other teams that have success, they've all got that part of their game down packed. And it's the same as with some of these other teams, the Gold Coast Titans, that you look at those key indicators in the middle of the field. Who's gonna do those roles for them that in today's game is so important? And unfortunately for the Bulldogs, it's hard. I don't think Burton's a guy. I think when he tries to ball play, it gets complicated. He's a runner of the football. He's a good six, but I just don't think he's a guy that can drift across field, or, you know, and play with different tempo. He's just got to get the football and run as hard as he can when he sees an opportunity. But they just don't have players that can, I don't know, do things with the football for players around them. And I think that's going to be a big issue for the Bulldogs until they can find that person.
Yeah, for me, I think, like, the general rule for, you know, styles of play in the NRL is your outside backs carry and then your middles take over, right? And you see in the great teams, Isaiah Yeo, Victor Radley's, Kieran Murray. If I was at the Bulldogs, my whole point of attack would be around kick out on the edge. I think we spoke about last week quickly off air. I'd be going, because their middles aren't as quite as dynamic as other middles, I'd be kick out, mate. You're going to carry the ball 20 times every game. I'm going to play to you. You're going to create my momentum. Sorry, brother, but you're going to be...
You're the running back.
You're going to be running and being the workhorse. You're going to take that carry, create momentum. I'd go back through the middle, and then I'd play down the left again with Kikau and Crichton and Adokar.
Well, they moved Crichton yesterday, Wado. I didn't understand that. They formed those combinations on that left-hand side the week before, and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, so they've got Burton, they've got Crichton, they've got Kikau and the Fox on that left, and you go out there, then all of a sudden they've swapped Carraz and actually put Crichton on the other side.
You can sense the frustration with Cam Sorrell, though, because it's so close.
Yeah.
It's almost where he wants it to be, but he's just one or two players short, like a halfback who can threaten the line. As much as Drew Hutchinson is trying, and he is running the football, he just lacks a metre of speed. You know, it's so close for him, and it's so tangible, but he's so frustrated. You can see it.
Today in your column, The Weekend Read, demolish a core eyesore, you say.
Mm.
So you want that one gone?
Gone.
Like our gone.
Bulldoze it. Sell it off and spend it on other grounds, Tone. Sell off the land, solve the housing crisis in Sydney, and spend it on renovating some suburban grounds. And I don't know whether you can add 20,000 seats to Allianz. I don't know whether that's possible. If you can, do that.
It's brand new.
It's brand new.
It's just too small.
Of course. Aren't they putting the weight pool in there and everything there at Homebush?
Are they?
Yeah, I thought they were building one of those waves.
We'll build it where the stadium is. The greatest problem with this city and our stadium situation at the moment is Allianz Stadium. It should have been 60,000. 40,000 is ridiculous. It should have been either 30 or 60. And what it's done is it's strangled this town, because we're stuck with a core stadium, which no one really likes. I mean, be honest. Do you like watching footy there? I don't think many people like watching footy there.
I haven't watched too many games from the stadium.
Well, so. And that's our only major stadium. And the government's... the NRL's tried to get money spent on it to make it better, put a roof on it, make it a better ground to watch footy at, but the government won't do it at the moment.
Well, as a player, I'd prefer to play at Combank or Allianz.
Yeah.
As a player, not a call. A call, yes, on Origin night and Grand Final night when there's 80,000 people in there, it's the best ever, but it's just such a rare occurrence. You get those sort of venues filled up. So, personally, as a player, Allianz for now is... the bee's knees, right? The sheds, the facilities, it's just you can't go close to that anywhere, really. But even Combank, when you play there, the way it's built,
it's great.
It feels like the fans are on you.
95% of fans, I'm sure, would feel that way. They'd rather be at Allianz or Combank than at a core stadium.
I totally agree with you. I think you've got a problem if you've got a stadium that's just been built a few years ago and open to much fanfare, and you're suddenly going to go in there and try to add 20,000 seats.
Well, it was a complete blunder, Tony, to only make it 40,000.
But mistake made. And ridiculous. Not, and I don't think it can be adjusted, I wouldn't have thought, simply.
They put extra seats in the burn about it, didn't they, or
900 million. How much extra does it 20,000 seats cost?
It's probably not even possible, to be honest. No. But and that's the issue. If you knock down a core, where do you need a bigger stadium somewhere, and preferably one closer to the city, obviously.
So you're circling back a bit, because you would have copped a bit after Leichhardt.
After Leichhardt,
Were you like the players bit, and turned
mainly
it
off James Hooper?
I'm sure.
I was walking through the entertainment quarter on Thursday, Tone, to go to the game. I was going to the NRL for a meeting with someone. Yeah. And I'm walking along and I hear this bloke. There was a punter there, a workman putting out a fence, and he's yelled out, "Peabody." And I thought, oh, that's great. That's really taken off now, isn't it?
One of Woodsy's mates.
Yeah. It probably was. So Maroon starred it, and Hoops has just given it a kick along. But yeah, I've copped a bit of flack, Tone, yeah.
I love it. But you're the idea, behind Leichhardt, you're saying that it's in fact... It's not safe to play there, basically.
Well, they've said it won't be safe in 2 years' time unless money's sent on it. I didn't say that. That's the council said it, unless money's spent on it in the next couple of years.
Which we know it isn't. Chris Menzies said that's not going to happen.
Chris Menzies said no. So if that's the case, it doesn't matter what I say. No one will be able to play there.
There you go. You're a journalist, a columnist, doesn't matter what I say. That's exactly how it is.
Please buy the paper and read it.
Exactly. This is the Saturday Scrum. Brent Reed, I was a bit disappointed for Jay Arrow. Jay Arrow, I read during the week, didn't look good for the entire season.
Yeah, I caught up with him after the game last night, Tone. Actually, he was on the field celebrating the win, Jay. Mm-hmm. And I just checked with him on that because there was a story came out this week that he may not play again this year. He said that's incorrect. He said he's still targeting a round 8 return, which is after the bye. He needs surgery on the shoulder. He will get it at some point. It's a rotator cuff injury. He's got a tendon issue in there. So he will need surgery, but his plan is to come back. He said his rehabilitation's going well. His plan is to come back in round 8 and basically just hope to get through the year. He knows at some point, as I said, he needs surgery. He hopes that will happen in the off season. It may be at some point during the year the shoulder gives way, but he's optimistic. He'll definitely be back in round 8, and he's optimistic he'll be able to carry that injury through the year for South. But it's obviously going to be an ongoing issue for him.
Yeah, it's a strange one for me, not knowing the extent of the injury, and obviously in those four wars, because right now it seems like he does need the surgery, but it's a throw at the stump because there's a chance to rehab it and potentially play. But then how far does that rehab go? Does he need surgery in off-season guaranteed? And does that surgery carry time into the next year? So these are all the factors that probably the doctor and the rehabilitation staff at the Rabbitohs and Jai
considering. Wade, was that he needs surgery. He will have to have off-season surgery if he can get through the year.
Yeah, but so I feel like if he needs off-season surgery, if he needs surgery right now, it rules him out for the season. Because if it's an 8-week surgery, you just get the surgery done, you'd be back in time for the end of the season, the most important time of the season. But by delaying it, it almost seems like it would be season ending. So if he pushes through to the end of the year and has it after grand final day, which is the goal for every team, well, then it affects next year too. So it's a hard situation as a player. They're the pros and cons you have to weigh up about not just yourself, your individual rehab, your own health, but the team, how it's going to affect the team this season, how it's going to affect my preseason and the team next year. So,
and he's an important cog in that wheel.
He is. Well, he's an Origin player.
Yeah.
He's an Origin player. And we talk about South in those areas, the effort areas, the defensive areas. That's what he does. He gets his carries and he does a lot of the clean-up work in defence. So he's important for them.
Ready, Nick Meaney. I mean, he's been terrific at Melbourne. And his versatility has been important as well.
Yeah, I said a couple of weeks ago on this show that his manager was heading down to Melbourne to have more meetings with the Storm about a contract extension. That's pretty advanced now. I'd expect Nick Meaney to do an extension next week, as early as next week. Probably at least another 2 years on that deal for Nick. So, he deserves it. He's been a solid performer down there, really consistent player for them, and now playing, obviously, in the centres and doing a really good job at it. So I'd expect that maybe announced or confirmed next week sometime.
Okay. A lot of people through the week have said how much they enjoyed listening to Taylor May last week in our interview with him. He was terrific.
He was good.
He was so good. But what about his brother in terms of
contract?
Well,
this one's been really lingering, hasn't it? Yeah. Terrell May and the Roosters. And they've focused really on doing a new deal there. And again, I expect this to happen early next week. I reckon he'll do at least another 2 years at the Roosters, Terrell May. And a bit of breaking news, Tone, actually, Dave Riccio, Triple M's own Dave Riccio, Jake Preston fractured jaw. Out for 4 weeks or 4 weeks.
Ooh. He came back on.
He came back on. Obviously, played the game with it. So
well, that looked brutal.
It was a head clash, wasn't it?
It must have been. Yeah. So he's back after the bye in 4 weeks' time, Jake Preston.
So he went off past the HIA, as we know, which is those questions of that have been put to the 10. I think you get.
Woodsy only needs five.
It's five. What were the three words again from last week?
Chair, table, field.
Oh, there you go. You're clear. So a bit of a blow for the Doggies because Jake Preston's been pretty good for them.
He has. It's remarkable that he came back. Anyway, that's the modern rugby league player. Our great friend Mark Geyer, of course, MG, who works on this very station. So proud, tears in his eyes as his son, Maverick Geyer, made his first grade debut for the Panthers, the club, of course. His father and his uncle, Greg Alexander, both legends for there at the foot of the mountains. The smile on their faces when he ran out, the smile on Maverick Geyer's face when he ran out and at the end of the game was absolutely priceless. And it's why we love this game. And we're thrilled that he joins us right now. Congratulations, Mav. Just brilliant.
Cheers, brother. Thanks for having me. To be honest, it was a bit surreal, to be honest, looking back on it. The night's sort of all a bit of a blur. I can only sort of remember parts of it. But, it was something that I've been dreaming of my whole life. It's the type of stuff you're thinking about when you go to bed at night growing up. And, it was crazy.
Mav, Wade Graham here, mate. I asked you after the game, the name Geyer, the name Alexander, Penrith Royalty, now that the emotion's gone, how does it feel? Like, how proud are you to go out there and continue on the great names of the Penrith team?
Hey, Wade. As I said after the game, it's so special, man. It's just crazy. Like growing up, looking up to Dad and Greg and even Ben. Like they just it seems so far away what they did, and they won a comp here in the '91 Grand Final, and to be able to do that now. Like I've only played one game, but it just makes me want to. Makes so much more motivation around it to just keep going and hopefully have a great career myself with this club.
Hey Maverick, it's Brent Reid here. You said it's the sort of thing you dream of when you go to bed. What time did you go to bed after that game? What time did your old man go to bed?
Hey Brent, it was a bit of a late one. We didn't get home from the actual game till about midnight. So had a couple of beers at home with the family and I can't really remember what time I went to bed, but it was definitely a good one.
It's so good. Many people don't know. I mean, the MG, the hardest man on the footy field, but an absolute softy. And you seeing him cry those tears for you when he was holding the Guernsey, they're things you're never going to forget.
Yeah, no, definitely. He might come across as a bit of a big tough guy, but deep down he is a softy. And sharing that moment with him is, I think, something that us two together will definitely cherish for the rest of our lives and something we'll look back on as just a proud moment for our family. Having four other siblings, we love to sports has been a big part of our life, like since we've been young, and competitiveness and rivalries, just that's all our family's about. And for me to do this is not just good for me, but our whole family is just so important for us.
Hey, Mav, Ryan Girdler, mate, congratulations. I think the last time I saw your old man cry was when he was trying to dodge a suspension at the judiciary. But brother, not only have you just now gone on and played first grade, but you've done it in a pretty amazing club and going through an amazing period. It'll go down in history as probably one of the best runs of an NRL side in a long, long time, brother. How's it feel to be part of that? And tell us a little bit about, what makes that group so special.
Hey, Gerds, definitely. Last time we cried was probably back then, going to the judiciary every second week. So I've been full-time at this club for about 3 years now and obviously did my 2 years of development. It's just surreal, man. Like, coming into this club and my first year there, they won a comp and all I've ever really known is success. Watching them and the way they approach training, week in, week out, with knowing the fact that they have come off, you know, winning a premiership and going back to back, going winning it three times in a row, they just become hungrier more than ever. And I think, you know, us young boys coming into the squad like that, yeah, it's hard not to sort of be drawn towards success and want to chase that feeling. And yeah, it's just coming in training. It's just like being around your mates, sort of thing. Like they're a special group of boys, and they welcome you with their arms, and they respect hard work. And as long as you respect, you know, yourself and hard work, and respect the club's laws, and not really laws, but just yeah, sort of culture, then yeah, it's hard to not be in place there.
Yeah, they're the two things I think that just impress everyone, is their willingness to get better. Like, they, as you said, they've won three titles now, and every year it's like, oh, surely someone's going to want it more, but we don't seem to be able to find another group that wants it quite as much as those boys do. And the ability just to do their job, you know, you have a look at the guys that were missing and on the weekend come up against the Red Hot Roosters side. They went out there and they were just incredible at just whoever came in doing the role that was in front of them, keeping it nice and simple and getting the job done again.
Yeah, and 100%. As you said, you know, there's 17 clubs in the league, and, you know, every single one of them starts the year wanting to win the comp, which just makes it so much more special that this team has done it three years in a row. Like, you have... However many there are professional athletes in the league that are all pretty handy at what they do, wanting to win a comp. And, you know, this club just does it. We've done it three years in a row. It's, yeah, it's credit to themselves. And hopefully I can be a part of it in the years to come. And, yeah, you know, this weekend we had last Thursday night, we had a big emphasis on keeping it simple and just playing the brand of footy that, you know, the simplified stuff, like, you know, kicking the corners and, just working hard for each other. And, you know, whoever comes into the spot of the big names, as you said, Nathan, you know, Schneider came in, and club debut of a halfback, that's pretty nerve-wracking. And, you know, Ive and the coaching staff just did a real good job to him, and, you know, probably defence focus, and kept it simple for him, which, you know, people like me and Schnitty coming into the role, it just simplifies it and makes it a lot easier for us.
Well, speaking about some of your teammates, there was a few whinging actually after the game that they couldn't get a hold of any tickets, because I think you had, what was the total, 120? Could you hear the support, mate, out there? Because we could hear it from the media box, that whole guy, Clan, out there to support you. And it must be awesome. Who was a part of your support crew, brother, to watch you for your debut?
Yeah, the tickets actually, because we all get tickets for each game, and I think all of them came to me, and the boys got around it a bit, so they helped me out there. But no, just all my real close mates and my family. They've been sort of waiting for this day a while, and they've been messaging me every sort of week and for the past 3 years saying, when are you going to make it? And, like, they don't really understand sort of the footy, the hard stuff of footy. Like, they just think, oh, yeah, he's in the top squad, he's going to make it. So it's been a bit of a grind for them as well, I think. And, yeah, to have them there and to hear them. I think I was supposed to come on in the first 10 minutes because Marto, I don't know, he had a cork or something, the cat.
You'll be right.
So I thought I was supposed to go on then, and I heard them sort of for the first time as loud as they could, like when I stood up, and that's when my butterfly sort of steadied, and I was like, oh geez, I'm like, this is real here. And then obviously Eisenhoof went on, so I sat down, and I think that was pretty good, because I just sort of gathered myself again and go, all right, like, when you go on next, you're going to be ready. Like, so hearing them definitely made me bit more nervous, but obviously, yeah, so much more pumped.
Well, congratulations, mate, you did it, and yeah, hope to see you out there plenty
proud.
More.
Maverick, you talk about sacrifice. Thanks to get there. I mean, you actually turned down the opportunity to go to Melbourne. I remember doing the story about 3 years ago where you sat down with Craig Bellamy, and I think, did you sit down with him, or he called you and you had a conversation with Craig and he tried to get you to Melbourne and you said no to it? What was that like? And obviously you don't regret that decision now, but how hard was that at the time?
Yeah, no, it was a Zoom call, because it was over the time where COVID was obviously affecting the country and the state pretty badly. So, it was a Zoom call, and I had a great chat with Craig. He's a very respected person, and to even have a chat with him was a bit surreal in itself. Like, Craig for me is someone who, if someone says NRL coach, he's one of the first I sort of think of, and what he did at Melbourne was just, yeah, second to none sort of in his coaching career. And we just spoke about, you know, what Melbourne's about for him, and I was very interested in, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that Penrith is so important to me, then yeah, I probably would have went. But, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing when you look back on it. It was a hard decision at the time, and not now. Yeah, I'm grateful that I made that choice, and yeah, that this is my home.
I love it. I hope you get a chance soon to have a drink at Freddy's, Nathan Cleary's new bar. You see, organise that.
Yeah, hopefully free beers then.
Absolutely. Maverick, congratulations on your performance and on getting that jersey. It's absolutely brilliant. Congratulations, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, guys. It means a lot.
See you, Mav.
There he is, Maverick guy. What a good fella. No surprise.
What a side story, really. Go, oh, yeah, mate, I wrote the story. Well, what actually happened? Did you have a meeting? Did you sit down with him?
I couldn't remember. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Just throwing darts like you do.
120 or something. Were they real close friends and family? Yeah. Like, if I had real close friends and family, I'd need 6 tickets.
I'm telling you, I heard that they got a bus out there, or must have been a couple of buses out to watch him, but... Yeah, those boys from the West, I'm guessing there might have been a few empty seats on the way back because they don't waste a trip to the city for no reason. It'd
be a long time since Brandy Alexander sat like 4 down in the corner at a football game rather than up very high.
Honestly, it's a great night for the club. Like, yeah. There's stories within the stories, but like the Guy family, the Alexander family, how close they are, that it's royalty out there at Penrith. Yeah. So to see, you know, a generational changeover, Mav run out there representing that entire family, it's brilliant for the club. Like, and again, like they're at the top of the tree at the moment, Penrith Panthers. 3 premierships in a row. Stories like this, it's just the train continues.
And he deserves a huge rap because he's stuck at it. I mean, it's not as though it's been gifted to him. He's had to work really hard to get there.
Well, even MG too refused an interview from Triple M because he wanted it to be about Mav. Yeah. Like, and it's so a great family. We all love MG, but just a little touch like that. He wanted it to be about him that night. It was a brilliant night.
So good. This is the Saturday Scrum. Doing it for King G Workwear. Believe it or not. All right, Ryan Girdler, Wade Graham, Brent Reed. This is what I'm going to put to you. Just a few little statements and, yes, we were pointing at him.
What's happened? Can you give him their buzzer names, please? We've got Destroyer here on my left and the Baron up there on the
stadium. Well, if we were playing it as a quiz... I could give them their name, but this is
jumped in early. Sorry.
This is, believe it or not, you can use your names if you want to, buzz
I'll
in.
Take the Destroyer. My nickname for the quiz will be False Start.
False Start, indeed. Destroyer of stadiums. All right, believe it or not, Dylan Edwards must play for New South Wales in 2024, Reedy.
You coming to be first? I don't believe that, no. Mm-hmm. No, because I think James Tedesco will be the fullback. And I'm not sure. We saw Dylan Edwards play some wing for Australia, right, at the end of last year. Yep. And I don't think he's an automatic selection on the wing. So, no, I don't think there's a spot there.
Did you watch that game the other night?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Unbelievable. He's been brilliant for 2 years, Wado. But what are you going to do, drop James Tedesco?
Yeah, I don't believe it either because it would be a big decision.
So you agree with me?
Yeah, I do agree with you again. It's crazy.
4 times today. Hello.
But like, all I'm saying is I don't believe he's automatic selection. But a couple more performances like the other night, he's almost undeniable.
Yeah.
He was the best player on that field by a length the other night. Yeah. And
he's racking up 220-230 metres every
kicking
game.
Kicking goals, yeah. Setting up tries, scoring tries. And, you know, it would be a big decision for Madge to make that decision. But, like, he would be safe. He would be safe 100%. Like, we're pretty lucky in that position. We got Teddy. We got Dylan Edwards, we got Turbo. Like it's a good spot for New South Wales, and whichever way Madge goes, we're going to be in good hands. But yeah, it'd be a big decision.
Do you think you could pick him on the wing or not?
Probably not.
Yeah,
probably not. Not with the other options out there. Not with To'o. Not with Addo Carr. We're talking about Lomax. We're talking about, you know, I'd even consider
you're pushing Lomax, aren't you?
No.
Are you even play manager or something?
No.
Trying to get him to Cronulla.
I just like to dig the knife in the Jimmy Graham because he doesn't push. He's on the anti-Lomax train. But
anti-Lomax.
Yeah.
I'd even consider Latrell.
Sounds like a medication.
The wing.
Latrell on the wing.
I'd even consider Latrell on the wing. Like if you have Tommy Turbo and Crichton on the centres, just think of him, a big body. He's as athletic as anyone. He probably doesn't get the workload defensively that puts that pressure on all the meters. Like, I think he could be good there.
Yeah, okay.
Intriguing.
Have you taken your anti-Lomax girds? Hang on to your fire there for a moment because there might be a question in that one. Believe it or not, Dylan Edwards, that's where we're at now, must play for New South Wales.
Oh, I think it's too early to start talking about Origin time.
Oh.
way too early to start talking about Origin.
That's not a bad call either. But okay, well, in this case, you'll love this question. Believe it or not, Michael Maguire calling for ex-New South Wales players to, quote, stick solid is the wrong strategy.
Oh. No, I don't believe that. I think that's a good strategy. I think, like, the Blues, we love the Blues, like us New South Wales, like Welshmen, we love it. And I think we all should be positive and get around it. And there's always hope for us. Obviously, the dynasty that Queensland went through, there's a lot of frustration that we weren't winning. But the team always put in the effort under Laws. And I love it. I love Madge trying to bring the passion back to New South Wales. I don't feel like we didn't.
I don't either. Yeah, I think Freddie did it good.
I just think... For sure, we're going to get around it 100%. But you know, if he picks the team and it doesn't get the job done, well, there's going to be criticism. You just got to wear that. But yeah, us as Blues, you know, I'm all for pumping that up as much as my time. It's a favourite time of year for me.
Right. We still got to do our job, Tone. Yeah. You know, and yeah, I'm all for it as well. I think Freddie got him in a good spot culturally. I think that he really worked that part of the concept, and I think, you know, I'm glad that Madge recognises that, and he's going to pick it up and run with it. And if they're in there and they're winning and they're going well, we'll be, you know, talking about it. And if they're not, and people are like you are asking us, what would you change in that? We have to give our opinion. That's what we're paid to do. And I like the fact they say, oh, Queensland don't do it. When Queensland lose a game, you know, their ex-players come off the back fence as well. I don't understand how they just say, oh, it's just New South Wales that eat their own. You watch. If we go out, when we were winning 2-0 and we went almost 3-0 with Freddie a couple of years ago, you should have heard the Queensland ex-players. And it just, those guys that are involved in the media, you just don't have a choice. You've got to speak your opinion. You've got to come up with solutions. If there are, we're all passionate about it. And that's the way it's going to be. But we're always supporting New South Wales.
Yeah. Still too early to talk about Origin.
It didn't take you long to pump him up, did it?
I think it's admirable what Madge has done. I agree with it. But there's nothing us Queenslanders like more, Tone, than watching you blokes eat each other alive. We love it. How good is it? You're ripping into each other. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I remember when Billy left a couple of those players out last year, the pick and stick went, you know, and guys like Gagai and all that were left out. You should have heard some of the people
in the room. Remember when Kevin left Billy out of the team?
No, Kate Whirl. I mean, my God.
Remember when Billy left Kevin left Billy out of the team? It was anarchy up there. So it goes both ways. Don't worry, mate.
Don't remember any of that.
Aren't you glad
you're still winning?
You brought the thunder this week, haven't you, buddy?
It's on again.
It is. Okay. Believe it or not, the Dragons, this is where you can unload your Lomax medication.
Me?
Yes, you. The Dragons must stand strong and not release Zach Lomax, Ryan Girdler.
So hang on, let me try and work this out. So they must stand strong and not release him.
Yeah, that means keep him, so far as I can work out.
Let me have a think about that. I haven't really thought about that one, Tone. You know what? I think...
Do you want me to go to one of the students who has prepared?
Yeah, it's all we've been talking about on Thursday nights. Yeah. Lomax has made our courses
every week. This is Wade's topic. Give it to Wade. Wade likes this one.
That's amazing.
He's a Lomax sympathiser, as Reedy would say.
Sorry, what was the question? I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's confusing the way that he worded it.
The Dragons must not strand. No, just,
must. Yeah,
the
no,
Dragons must stand strong and not release Zach Lomax.
Well, I believe it, but they can release him. They can, but they got to win.
You don't
out
believe
of,
it.
They got to win out of the situation. So whether it's, say, for instance, Parramatta, I'd be going, well, if your Lomax is going. What did St. George need? Probably a middle, right? You give us Junior Paulo, or give us RCG, or you give us a young half who's just started to play for the. That's the attitude the Dragons.
Nelson Asifa Solomon, and he did not want it down there.
Well, he's not at Para, so I don't think that's what
Melbourne.
That's the scenario for the Dragons. Yep. Fine, if Zach wants to go, fine. We'll entertain it, but we need to win out of that situation as a club, as a team, to move forward.
Yeah, I would say, Tony, with some of the sides at the bottom of the ladder. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't afford to have $800,000 like wingers. So I would say that it's probably in their best interest if they can get some value, like Wade said, bring in someone in a key position worth that. It's more important to them at the moment than probably having a winger on that much money, yes.
Yeah, that said, he's probably been the best player so far this season.
He's been dynamic for them.
Oh, Wade's got him in the Origin side.
He's one of them. Potential. Madge agrees. Madge called him.
Yeah. I think they
should. He's a good player.
Look, if he's unsettled and unhappy and they can't change his mind, I think they should let him go because a lot of money they can use in another area. I think the biggest issue out of it is if they let him go, how do they explain that to Ben Hunt, who wanted to go 12 months ago and who may still want to go, how do you turn around to Ben Hunt and go, we're going to let Zach go?
Because every situation is different.
Yeah, yeah, really. I know that, but he mightn't understand that, Gerds.
I think he would. He's a management company. He's a seasoned campaigner.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah, he understands. Right. Like,
apologies.
He could come on air here and I could have this conversation with him on air or off air about... You understand why the Dragons need to win out of the Lomax situation as a club, as a team, right?
I think they win just by clearing up $800,000 and getting rid of a bloke who doesn't want to be there. I don't think that's a win.
I don't think that's a win straight away. Like, how's that going to improve the footy team? Yeah, sure, it gives you $800,000, but we still got to go get a player. Yeah. Still got to attract a player. Like,
you know what it's like though. Wade? Every off season, there's something shakes out that someone, you know, becomes available you didn't think it'd be available. Stefano might be available come mid-year. If you've made a decision to let Zach Lomax go,
someone might become available from the team that Zach wants to go to and his management is talking to. And that's the Dragons can use that as leverage to say, right, if you want to go and that club wants you so much, well, it's got to be a negotiation.
Oh, if you can get
Dragons
someone out of power, then
Tony,
do
I want
it, right?
Tony's team with your Dragon supporter.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think?
The club needs to win out of this. The club is bigger than any player. So.
No, I'm sorry. I found it weird that Ben Hunt actually said in the media, confirmed that Zach Lomax wasn't happy. That, for me, as the club captain, felt a bit funny.
Yeah. Mm. I think most people thought that was a bit funny.
Yeah.
But Ben's pretty brutally honest.
Yeah, no. I absolutely get that. And we'll see how they go against the Seagulls. We spoke to Maguire, but we didn't actually talk about how good that performance was. The pieces may change, but the system remains the same.
Yeah, I just can't help but be impressed. In my opinion, you know, one of the hardest competitions in the world, the NRL. You rarely see a team go back to back, rarely, because the competition is that close. The every year the table from 1 to 8 is so congested because it's that close of a competition. For them to dominate the way they have, they've won the last 3. There's no reason why they can't win 4 if they keep going the way they are. It's just so impressive to see how they go about their work and they play their footy. And you have to give a rap to Ivan Cleary and how he keeps them motivated, keeps them focused. Mm. Because, you know, if any of the criticism over the years would be that they play with a chip on their shoulder, sometimes they come across a little bit arrogant the way they play. But you know what? They're the best. So do as you please. If you win, do as you please. But one thing that can't be questioned is the humility off the field they have and the way they interact with the community, the way they represent the Western Sydney area. And humility for me is a big word with that team, because if you're not humble and you don't have humility, you don't think you can get better. And all those players out there, they think they can get better. They want to keep working. It doesn't matter that they've won 3 competitions in a row. All you hear about is that team wants to get better and improve. And if you don't have humility, after you have that success, you don't have that attitude to want to be better. So it's just impressive.
Yeah, that technical part of the game, Wade-O, like especially defensively, like you look at how they work the ruck, they own that area of the game, which is the most important part of the game. And it's the detail, it's the numbers in tackle, it's the time that they spend. And they do it, like if you look at Brandon Smith, he killed the Rabbits the week before, ran over 100 metres with 10 or 11 runs. Against Penrith, there's no room around the ruck. He had 3 runs, and one of those was a little dive over try that he scored. So just their attention to detail, Tony, is what separates them.
It is. Unbelievable. It separated them, as we said, for 4 years. Well, 4th year will it happen. We'll find out. St George, of course, will play Beat Manly in just a couple of hours. right now.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.